Amen. Why don't we all stand to our feet this morning? Good to see you this morning. God bless you. How many of you know this is the day?
This is it.
Why don't we say that? This is the day,
the Lord hath made.
And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, can we just lift our voice and just thank God for this day and thank Him that we have joy? How many of you got joy today? Father, we thank You for joy. We thank You for victory. We thank You that You make us overcomers in this life. Thank You that You always give us the victory. Thank You that You always cause us to triumph in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are the same victorious church that I remember last time we were here. It's starting to be a regular thing, Annie and I coming here. How many of you know that we're Kevin and Annie Durant?
Yeah.
You know us by now. But anyways, you can be seated this morning. We've got some great things to get into. You're going to be so blessed you were here this morning. This day is going to be an amazing day. And we're going to hear some things. We're going to see some things that perhaps you've never seen before. Now, that's quite a statement to make. Because if you belong to this church, you've heard a lot of things and you've seen a lot of things. But I believe God's got some things for just you this morning that it's going to make the other people jealous that they weren't in this first service. And but we're so glad to be back with you. This is starting to be a regular thing, Annie and I, being around the Word of Life family and the Apopka city. And we live way over in Lake Nona area. Have you ever been to Lake Nona over near the airport on that side? There's some good restaurants over there. I highly recommend Nona Blue Restaurant. That's a really good one to go to. But no, Pastor Morgan, some time ago, as we were sharing, having a bite to eat here over here in Mount Dora, and there is some good places to eat there. How many of you know there's a food anointing in Mount Dora? Amen. Not so much in Apopka. We all need to believe in some better restaurants. I'm just saying. How many of you all believe we should have some better restaurants in Apopka? Amen. I mean, I think I don't feel any resistance right there. I think you all are in agreement there. But, you know, we just sensed that there was a coming together, streams of ministries coming together in these last days. And we all have a supply to offer one another. And, of course, you know, most of you know that we came from Rhema and traveled with Brother Hagen for 10 years. And so we come from the same cloth as the Morgan family.
Yes.
And so as we begin to share, we just came upon the realization that we're kind of on the same page with some things. And part of that page that we're on is we want to be better at being spirits.
Yeah.
You know, 2 Corinthians, or as Donald Trump would say, 2 Corinthians. I just thought it was cute when he would say that. 2 Corinthians. No, 2 Corinthians talks about that. Paul said, I want to share more with you, but because there's strife and there's envyings and there's, you know, divisions among you, he goes, you're acting like mere men. And so evidently, we're not to act like mere men.
Come on.
Everyone say this, I'm not just a mere man.
I'm not just a mere man.
Say, I'm a born again
believer,
child of God,
joint heirs
with Jesus Christ. I've been risen with Jesus, and I'm seated in heavenly places. Now, do you see yourself there? Now, when you see yourself there, everything you experience in life is from a different perspective. You pray differently. The way you go about your day, you perceive victory, of course, because you've been risen together with Him. And now you get to enjoy life coexisting with Jesus Himself living on the inside of you. Yeah. Everyone say this, greater is He,
greater is He
that's in me
than
he that's in the world.
The
right there at the beginning of this day, we have an advantage over anyone in this life who doesn't know Jesus.
Amen.
Now, our goal isn't to keep Jesus to ourselves.
Right.
We want as many people to come into the family of God as possible, but you and I have every reason to expect to have victory. Amen.
Amen.
We're to be overcomers in this life. And Annie and I, we're on a quest to being better at being spirits, and we've just decided to believe and to take God at His word that We have signed up that we're fully persuaded that if God said it, that's it. And you have to live your life with a conviction of the absolutes of God. God doesn't speak in terms of a few, some, many. God, when he speaks in his word, he says, whosoever shall ask whatsoever. If you'll ask anything in my name. God doesn't speak in terms of 3 out of 5, 5 out of 6. 9 out of 10, he said, whosoever shall receive whatsoever he asks the Father in the name of Jesus. And so we're endeavoring to be strong in our spirits. You know, the Bible says this. I'm going to read this to you. It says in Proverbs 18:14, it says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or in trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? The mind of the prudent is ever getting knowledge, and the ear of the wise is ever seeking knowledge. The Bible says that people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so the reason, one of the reasons why we come, and you know, we come to just not meet with one another today, but we've come to meet with the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Right. And matter of fact, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the first verse, I'm paraphrasing, the first verse, second verse, says, the house of the Lord is not a place for man to meet with man, but a place for man to meet with God. Yes. Now, when we come to meet with God, we're learning more about him. We're learning how to cooperate with him. And there is much more that's available to us. And we're getting insights. And every time, I don't know, have you made it, anybody here made it to any of the Friday night meetings that Annie and I have been here on Friday nights? Raise your hand if you've been blessed by those meetings. Amen. And if you haven't come, Morgan, do we know the next meeting, what the date is?
I think it's April 5th.
Possibly April 5th, maybe? Does that sound right to anybody? Okay. Well, we're having healing miracle services. Like, it's been almost like one Friday night. Everyone say April 5th.
April 5th.
If you haven't come to one of those, I really strongly encourage you to come to those meetings because we're diving deeper into some truths and those Friday night healing miracle services, they're not just teaching services. Yeah. They're not just coming to hear more about the Word of God, but these services are designed to encounter and experience the power of God.
Yes.
These services are designed to experience the healing power of God, to experience healing in miracles. But there's a lot of things that we need to grow in the knowledge of Him, and we're going to cover some things this morning. Have you ever asked this question? Just want to ask you a question here this morning. Have you ever asked a question like this? Lord, if you'll just do this one thing for me this one time, I'll really believe you. You know, some of you have been around long enough. Some of you have been around enough to know that we've all encountered experiences, some good, some not so good. We would like to have a testimony that we would have liked to have had a greater level of victory.
Sure.
Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not fully satisfied that we've had the kind of results that in our heart of hearts, we're convicted. Yeah. There's more.
Yes, yes, yes,
that's right.
Yes.
Definitely,
there is more.
Yeah. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Do you believe that there's? I hate to make it sound like levels, but there's one faith, and God gave you the measure of faith. Amen. So we all are playing with we're all utilizing the same faith, but you can grow in faith.
Yeah, true.
And there's different things that you can discover and find out in the Word of God that helps you dig your, it's like you're more grounded and you're anchored. Where nothing moves you.
Amen.
There's a point that you can get to, and you know, like you take Ephesians 3:20, very powerful verse. Now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that, and the Amplified says, dare ask or think. Everyone say, dare ask or think. I like to ask people, when was the last time you dared God to do something for you? Turn to someone and say, I think he's getting ready to talk to you right now. I like to ask people, when was the last time you dared God to do something for you? Now, right there in that verse says, according to something.
Yeah.
According to what? According to the power that worketh in you. Well, what is that power? Now, again, we're talking about things that will make you unshakable.
Yeah.
Will cause your feet to be anchored on the Word of God.
Yeah.
That no matter what comes, no matter what circumstances, what symptoms attach itself to your body, you are so anchored in God, there's been angles to your faith. You found out Galatians 3:13 says that I've been crucified with Christ. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. Christ being made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law.
Yes.
That means everything the old covenant had, which was pretty good, anything that could be listed as sickness and disease, you're redeemed from.
Yeah.
And now we're in a new and better covenant. So you see where we learn these things. And it's one more anchoring.
Yep.
We found out that Ephesians 3:20 is based upon the power that works within us, which is you go a few verses before that and you find out that if you'll know the breadth, the length, the height, of the depth of the love of God, that will be the power that works in you, is knowing how much God loves you.
Yes.
Why is he going to heal your body? Why is he going to come through for you? Why does he want to be your heavenly Father that's going to take care and he can be the one that you put your trust in? Is because we have found out how much unconditional love he has for us.
Yes.
Nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Nothing.
So we got, I'm redeemed.
I am redeemed.
The power of God causes me to have knowing the love of God enables me to have a power of God that worketh in me.
Amen.
That he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could dare ask or think. And so we can just continue to go on and on. And, you know, the Morgans and Morgan was at the brother,
Megan.
The Morgans and Megan, we were all at the minister's conference here recently, Mark Hankins' minister's conference. Well, Brother Mark got to talking about the blood. Well, you start hearing about the blood and it's like, wait a minute, I might just need to brush up a little bit on that, you know, because you start talking about the blood of Jesus and what it stands for and the power of the name of Jesus. So we got the power of love working in us, and we've been redeemed from the curse. We know how to apply the blood. We know that the greater one is on the inside of us.
Absolutely.
We know that the name of Jesus is greater than any other name.
Absolutely.
So we're learning things, and every time we see a part of God that we haven't seen before, it's like a wheel with all the spokes going to the center, and it all points to God.
Amen.
Everything he's provided, everything he's already done for us, the revelation, the insights, that God, he left nothing out, that nothing in life would ever come our way that he would not be able to help us overcome and make a way of an escape. The greater one lives on the inside of us. And so we continue to get more and more. And so the Morgans and the Durants, we're on a quest that this ministry would be one of the healthiest spots on planet Earth. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The next church is going to really like that statement. How many of you believe that this could be a 100-fold ground church? You don't want to be just a 20-fold, 20-fold return church, do you? You know, Annie and I were talking last night, and I got to get into my message here really quick. But Brother Morgan said, don't sit out there and stay sick. Is that how he said it?
Pretty much.
So he said, don't stay out there and put up with sickness. Don't sit out there and stay broke. Don't sit out there and wondering, when is it ever going to happen for me?
Right.
Get some tenacity on the inside of you.
Yeah. Come on.
Make up your mind.
Absolutely.
You're going to be a good ground-producing believer.
Amen.
That I'm going to have everything God said.
Everything.
And if you're here on the first service,
absolutely,
you either have a job that starts in about an hour and a half, or you really love the Word. Now, I asked a question earlier. Have you ever thought, Lord, if you just get me through this one more time, then somehow I'm going to find within myself an unshakable, if you'll just answer my prayer this one last time, if you'll somehow get me through this one, if you'll somehow meet this financial need, I don't know where to turn. You're all I've got. And if you'll show yourself faithful this time, I'll never doubt you again.
Come on.
Now, don't raise your hand, but have you ever thought that? Come on, I have.
Yep.
There was a time. Now, here's what I want to tell you. We're going to blast that out of here this morning. I'm going to blast that so far out of here, out of you. I'm convinced there's two things you need to have happen for you. One is revelation in the Word of God. So, you know, one time somebody came up to Gloria Copeland. Sister Gloria, I've done everything I know to do, and it's just not happened for me. What do you have to say about that? She said, well, it's obviously you don't know enough. She said, I've done all that I know to do. And Sister Gloria Copeland, I'm sure she was not being a smart aleck. She was just being honest. She said, it's obvious you don't know enough. Now, be honest with yourself. Is there more to know? Is there more clarity that you might need? Is it possible that there's just a little bit of something, if we can tweak something in your thinking or your believing, it might just be the very thing, and that very thing could be this morning.
Yes, amen.
I said, that very thing could be this morning. Does anybody have any shouting in you at all this morning? You know, Smith Wigglesworth said, it seems like some people would be faith giants if they only had a shout. Can we just practice being a faith giant for just... You know, I mean, David said, I rejoiced over your word like one who found a great treasure. I'm ecstatic over what you said like one who just struck it rich. I'm so excited about what you said like I just won the lottery. How many of you would like to win the lottery? Well, David said, I rejoiced over your word like one who found a great treasure. Hallelujah. Turn it, if you would, to Genesis, the 17th chapter. Hallelujah. You're about to get your socks blessed off this morning.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Have you ever asked that question? Lord, if you just come through for me. Lord, if you just do it this last time, this time, if you just do it, if you just help me out this time. There's two things You need revelation. And then you need to have your own experience. Two things. You need to have revelation in the Word. And at some point, you have had to have had a moment where you believed God for something and you saw the end result. I want to say it again. There's two things you need in order to go to next level faith in God. One is that you have revelation in what God promised. And that He's able to do what He said He would do. And you're not wavering anymore.
No more wavering.
No more wavering.
No more wavering.
You've got revelation of what God promised you. And then you have had your own experience in God.
Amen.
You've seen God.
Amen.
You've prayed. You've believed God. And you've seen God do what you've asked Him to do. If you will have your own experience and you have revelation in the Word of God, you'll come up into a higher place. You'll come up to a higher place. Come up to a higher place. And all these areas, knowing the blood, knowing the name, knowing God is able, that there's nothing too hard for Him. If this is reality, your reality, and you're willing to lay everything on the line, you're going to have victory after victory after victory. Do you believe that?
Amen, amen.
Brother Jesse DePlantis had an experience called the Close Encounters of the God Kind. He had an experience where he went to heaven. He had an extraordinary experience where the one that was taking him on this navigating through his visitation through heaven, and he saw, came up to the throne of God, and he saw the throne of God there, and then Jesus came out of the throne of God and walked up to him, and Jesse, in only a way that Jesse DePlantis could do, he asked what he said was one of the stupidest questions you could ask. Of course, he would have to ask Jesus the stupidest question, but he said, Jesus, I see the throne. I see you. Where's the Holy Spirit? And Jesus said, Jesse, He's on the earth. And Jesse went like, I knew that. You know, it's like, how did I not remember that? But as he was looking at the throne of God, he saw angels going around the throne of God. And every time these angels went around the throne of God, they kept saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Every time they went around the throne. Has anyone ever seen that video, Brother Jesse, so you know what I'm talking about? Those angels would go around, he goes, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They would go around the throne of God again and again, and all those angels would say is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so Jesse was thinking to himself, goes, why do those angels keep saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty? And he said, the one that was taking him through this tour said, because every time they look at God, they see another part of God they've never seen before.
Wow.
And all they can say is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Those angels would go around some more, and all they would say was, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they kept seeing another part of God they'd never seen before. Do you know that there are at least 17 names for God? I want to go over them really quickly. I'm just going to, and you help me, if I call out Jehovah, one of God's names, tell me, most of you will know most of these names for God. So you tell me what it means, okay? Jehovah Jireh, He is the Lord God, your provider. Jehovah Shalom is the Lord God,
peace.
Your peace. Now these are different names for God. And the reason why this is important is I'm going to talk about two names for God and how significant it is that you know the difference between two of the names of God, which will position you in faith. It's going to rock your world this morning. And it's possible that you'll never have a reason to ever doubt God again. Jehovah Sitkanu is the Lord God, your righteousness. Jehovah Rapha is the Lord God, your healer. Jehovah Nissi is the banner of victory. He is your banner of victory. How many of you are thankful that He is your victory? Adonai, He's the Lord God, your master. Shama, He is the Lord. Lord is here. How many know He's ever present in time of need? So we have these different names for God. And there's a very specific reason why the Word of God has different names for God. Because every name describes a specialty of His. We found out Jehovah Jireh, our provider, He's the one that sees and provides. See, Jehovah Jireh, He is God in that He inhabits eternity. You inhabit a chair. There's a big difference between inhabiting a chair and inhabiting eternity. So when God said, if you give, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give back unto your bosom. When He said that, Jehovah Jireh is already who inhabits eternity, already in your future, looking back and seeing what you're about to do. And is already able to work on your behalf to cause something to come to pass for something you haven't even done yet. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but Amos, the 9th chapter, says that in the last days that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. So that means before you even got the seed in the ground, your harvest has already found you. Because Jehovah Jireh, who knows you're going to sow a seed, He's already the one who's providing. He inhabits eternity. He's looking back in time. Back in time. You know, remember that song? He's looking back in time because He knows you're going to sow a seed. He's able to do what's needed and arrange things so that the right time has happened when you've got your seed in the ground. Hallelujah. So again, these different names for God are not just happenstance. They're very deliberate and they're on purpose, and God wanted you to know that part of Him. Today I want to talk to you the difference between Jehovah Elohim and Jehovah Jireh. Now, I want to give you a definition for El Shaddai. The difference between Elohim and El Shaddai. What did I say?
You said Jireh.
Okay. I got stuck on Jehovah Jireh. I like that part. You may know this definition if you look at the Hebrew. You may already know, you're in a church like this, you've probably heard messages on El Shaddai. Now, please do not assume you know where I'm about to go. Because things are getting ready to be shaken up here a little bit. El Shaddai, you know this to be true. He's the blessed one. He's the superior one. He's the mighty one. Another definition for El Shaddai is the one who can... Another meaning for El Shaddai is the ability to nourish every child He has. He can supply, He can nourish, He can take care of every child at the same time. I'm going to say it again. Most of you probably already knew this definition. How many of you are familiar with this? Okay. He's the one who has the ability to nourish every child he has. He can supply, he can nourish, he can take care of every child at the same time. Today we're going to see another definition of El Shaddai in a moment. Before I give you that, I want to tell you that we're going to look at Abram, who became Abraham, because there was a moment where God changed his name to Abraham, which is the father of many nations. But in the 13th chapter of Genesis, we see that Abram was promised by God to have generations to come from his seed, that the very dust of the earth, if the dust particles could be named, it could be compared to the number of descendants he would have, okay? There was a moment when Abram was in a battle and God defended Abram. And as a result of reciprocity in the 14th chapter, there is a high priest named Melchizedek. And Abram was the first tither. And out of reciprocity and out of wanting to be a blessing to the Lord, he came to the high priest Melchizedek and he offered a tenth of his income. And at that time, Abram, and this is where it's very important, this is the time of his life, he only knew Elohim. He didn't know who El Shaddai was. I don't know how many parts of God that he knew or didn't know. But here in the 14th chapter, I told you to turn to the 17th chapter, but here in chapter 14, you there in Genesis?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Look what it says here in verse 18. It says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of the God Most High." Everyone say, God Most High. That is Elohim. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, Elohim." Now look at this. Possessor of heaven and earth. Elohim is the possessor of heaven and earth. "And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. Let me ask you a question. Can you be the possessor of heaven and earth without being the creator of it? Now, we already know from the first chapter of Genesis that God created everything we see. I mean, we could go through all the steps and all that, but God created everything we could see. God created everything. He's therefore the possessor. Elohim, I'm going to give you a definition of Elohim. And this is very important that you see this. Elohim, this is what Elohim means. He's the one who makes nature. He's the one who causes it to be. And he's the one who preserves it. Let me say it again. He's the one who makes nature. He's the one that causes it to be. He's the one who preserves it. Elohim established all natural laws. How many of you are familiar with the law of lift? If you've ever been on a plane, you've experienced the law of lift. How many of you understand gravity? The fact that there's the law of gravity in this earth, you're not floating up out of your seat. You're not like an astronaut, weightless in space. There's a law of gravity. There's a law of seed time and harvest. There are natural laws that God established, and he did it as Elohim. God established order. He created everything you and I have ever seen. He established all natural law. And yet there's something about that that's limiting. Because you think about these different laws, the orbit, the whole universe. If one thing was to stop and everything else kept going, there could be absolute tragedy. So God is a God of order. He's not a God of confusion.
That's right.
But there's a situation going on in that God promised Abram, and we're going to find out, we're going to bring Sarai into the picture, who later becomes Sarah, which is called princess, because even at a very old age, she's going to give child to a son of promise. But the thing is, there's a little problem. According to natural law, according to science, Sarah's body was dead and could not bear four children. According to Elohim, it's impossible if a woman's womb is dead for a woman to give birth to a child. Are you all here today? Now, this is going to get a little bit, I'm having to pace myself a little bit. We're digging down a little bit because we're coming up.
Come on.
I said, we're coming up.
Yeah. Amen.
You're going to see something very big today.
Amen.
So I'm going to give you a new definition of El Shaddai. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
El Shaddai, let me get this right. El Shaddai is the one who can supersede, reverse, accelerate, and override natural laws. Elohim is the one who makes nature, one that causes it to be, and is the one who preserves it. El Shaddai is the one who reserves the right to override natural law, reverse them if necessary. God, as Elohim, established natural law, but he reserves the right to override them, prolong them, accelerate them, supersede them.
That's good. Yeah, wow.
For instance, what's standing in the way of what God promised Abram and Sarai is a natural law. According to medical science, it's impossible if your womb is dead that you're going to have a child. Let me ask you something. If you had a heart condition and you didn't have a covenant, what would you do if you did not have a covenant, if you didn't know about the blood, if you didn't know about the name, if you didn't know what really belonged to you in your covenant and God, and you had a heart condition, more than likely you would go seek out a specialist, a heart specialist. You wouldn't go to the Yellow Pages and look up Bubba's new heart parts. How many of you would not go to the Yellow Pages and looking for Bubba's new heart parts and new valves? No. If you had a condition for your heart, you would want to find out what is it that God can offer you? What is it that you need God to do for you? What part of God you haven't experienced that you need to lay hold of, what the promises are, what God's ability is, to activate by faith what God said belongs to you. Now, what's standing in the way of Abram and Sarai from having a child is this natural law, which God, as Elohim, established. But look here at Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 7, it says, this is the first verse, it says, now watch this. Then Abram was 99 years old. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. This is El Shaddai now. Almighty God means El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram. Your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." So it says when he's about 99 years old, he met El Shaddai. The reason why God here in the 17th chapter of Genesis, the reason why God is coming to him goes, "I am Almighty God." In other words, I am El Shaddai. And basically, God is introducing to Abram the concept that, listen, you knew me as Elohim, the one who established natural law, but because you went 13 years not following my direction, there was 13 years of Abram and Sarai not hearing from God. Because they did something. Is when they realized they weren't able to have a child, all right? When they realized they weren't having a child, Sarai talked Abram into sleeping with their servant, Hagar. And hence came Ishmael. Have you ever felt like that what God promised you wasn't coming through, and then you decided you're going to do a B plan to try to help God out because God wasn't doing it for you?
Yeah.
Have you ever been there where you feel like, you know, I'm going to have to help God out? Because God's just not big enough to pull off what I need him to do. And as a result, and the whole story is there, Abram slept with Hagar. They had Ishmael. God blessed Ishmael, even though it wasn't the son of promise until Isaac came along. But for 13 years, Abram didn't even hear from the Lord. And so in the 17th chapter, not Elohim has showed up.
Come on.
Almighty God has showed up.
Yeah.
El Shaddai has showed up. And he's basically introducing a whole new concept to Abram is, listen, I know you know that I'm the one that created all natural law. I established all natural law. I'm the creator of the universe. I'm the possessor of the universe. But there, I understand that you didn't think that there, because Sarah's body was dead, there's no way that my promise to you was going to come to pass. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm now introducing another part of me.
Amen.
I am the Lord El Shaddai. I am Jehovah El Shaddai. I'm not limited to the natural realm as you know it. I'm not ever stuck. If I create it, I can do with it what I want to. So I'm telling you right now, I'm El Shaddai. I can reverse. I can supersede. I can accelerate. I can override natural law to honor the faith of one covenant person who will just take me at my word and believe what I said to them, that it will come to pass. Now, if you look at Romans chapter 4, and all you ever read about Abraham, how many of you know we are of the father Abraham?
Yeah.
Now, if all you ever read was Romans, the fourth chapter, you would think that Abram never, ever doubted God. Verse 17, Romans chapter 4, "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did exist, who contrary to hope, believed in hope, so that he shall become the father of many nations." This sounds like the Abraham that we know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
"And who what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about," how old?
About 100.
Everyone say about 100 years old.
"About 100 years old.
And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that whatever he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness."
Amen.
How many of you know, we see right here, this is our father Abraham.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we are of the seed of Abraham.
That's right.
It was accounted for righteousness because he believed God.
Yeah.
It's accounted under righteousness for us because we've accepted Jesus and we put our faith in him. But Abraham, it was counted to him for righteousness just because he believed and took God at his word. He trusted God. And if you look here in Romans chapter 4, you would think Abram has never, ever doubted God.
Come on.
Can we see that?
Yeah.
When he was about how old?
100.
Go back to Genesis chapter 17. I told you about ready to blast out of here. Oh, my goodness. Then God said to Abraham, verse 15, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, you shall call her name. That means princess. And I will bless her, and I will also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. King of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is about 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abram said to God, oh, no, that Ishmael might be before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son and shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him and for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. So, God said, I'm El Shaddai. I can supersede. I can reverse. I can accelerate. I can override natural laws if you just believe me. And even after that, it said about 99 years old he was. Well, where he's about 100 years old in Romans chapter 4, how much time difference is there between almost 100 years old at 99 and about 100 years old? How much sliver of time is there between 99 and about 100 years old? There is one thing that took place. Abraham went from knowing Elohim, the one who establish natural laws, to the first verse of 17, when he's almost 100 years old, he says, Abram, I'm El Shaddai.
Yes.
You're not stuck.
Stuck.
You're not limited to the natural. Are you all here?
Yes.
You're not limited
to
natural laws. When the doctor said, we've never seen anything like this. We have no answers for this. Perfect. Because if you know El Shaddai, you got the first ingredient you must need to have a miracle. Because if you were like the woman in Mark chapter 5, who she did all that she could do. She went to all the physicians. She spent all of her money, and she kept getting worse. But when she heard of Jesus, all of a sudden, she had the first ingredient for a miracle, and that is, I am hopeless. I can't do anything on my own. And God said, that's where I need you to be to get a miracle from me. I just needed you to say, if you come to me believing, if you'll just touch me, then you will be made whole. Like the man who came to Jesus in Mark chapter 9, the 23rd verse, he said, Jesus, can you do anything about my son? And Jesus turned the tables on the man. He said, it's not a matter whether I can do anything about your son. He said, if you'll believe me, if you'll put your trust in me, if you'll believe I can do it, he said, all things, say all things. He said, all things are possible to them that believe. How can you possibly believe now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could dare ask. How could you expect to believe God when the doctor said there has been no record of anybody getting the victory over these numbers? over this kind of white cells, cancer cells, in someone. We've never seen anybody get the victory. That is your moment to say, I know someone who can.
Amen.
He's not stuck. I'm not stuck. I'm in covenant with El Shaddai. Someone shout just a little bit, just for a moment. Joshua, chapter 10. Joshua's fighting a battle. He's running out of daylight. He's in a dark moment of his life. He's getting ready to be consumed by his enemies. And the only saving change that could happen for him is that he doesn't run out of daylight. Joshua steps out of his tent, and he looks up to the sky, and he looks at the sun, and he looks at the moon. He said, sun, moon, stand still. And the Bible has recorded, and scientists still are trying to prove why there's 24 hours missing on our calendar. Because for 24 hours, the sun and the moon stood still. Now, Elohim would not let that happen because it could cause mass chaos and confusion. And God's not the author of confusion.
That's right.
But if it means honoring the faith of one of his covenant child,
yep. Come on.
If it means honoring the faith of someone who has a covenant with God, who would dare to believe God and say, God, I don't care how bad my situation looks. I don't care what the banker said. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care about whatever circumstances is going on in my family. But I know that you got the ability, that you're the God.
Yes.
Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm, and there's nothing too hard for him."
Amen.
That's right.
He told that man whose son had a dumb spirit, Jesus, can he do anything? Jesus said, if you believe me, all things are possible.
Yeah.
Joshua said, sun, moon, stand still. And the sun and the moon stood still for 24 hours.
Yep.
Elohim will not let that happen. El Shaddai will override, supersede, reverse,
Amen.
Accelerate, override
Glory.
Natural
yeah.
law. What Elohim has established, El Shaddai reserves the right to do with it whatever he wants to.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
One time Elisha was coming, a prophet, come upon some men that were standing by a little piece of, some water. And he said, what are you guys looking at? They were all staring at the water. He goes, well, we had borrowed an ass. Axe from our master, and the axe head flew off the handle and went into the water. Elisha went over and broke a branch off of one of the bushes, throw it into the water, and all of a sudden it says that the axe head swam to the top.
Come on.
Everyone say the axe head swam.
Swam.
Come on, say the axe head swam.
Swam.
How many of you know Elohim will not let iron swim?
Amen.
According to natural laws,
yes.
An axe head's not swimming. But when El Shaddai showed up with the prophet Elijah and said, we need something to be reversed here. We need something to be changed here. There's going to have to be something overridden here. So he smote the water and said, here we go. And that axe head all of a sudden swam to the top. Now see, this is the God that you and I are in covenant with. This is why you and I have a person. Listen, the Bible says this. Are you ready for this? In Acts 13, it says this. It says, look, you mockers, and marvel, and perish, and vanish away. For I'm doing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe in, if someone described it to you, telling you about it in detail. Do you know that Jesus' entry into this earth was on the wings of El Shaddai? According to natural law, according to medical science, if a woman has never slept with a man, it's impossible for that woman to have her egg germinated by the seed. It's impossible for her to give birth. Jesus' entry into this earth was on the wings of El Shaddai.
Yes, come on. Ooh, that's good. That's powerful.
How can God, who said, I'm the Lord your God, I'm the one who answers before you call? Because El Shaddai He's got the ability. He knows when you're going to call. Because he inhabits eternity, you see. And if he just knows you're going to believe him, if he knows you're going to trust him, if he knows you're going to stand in faith with him, he can go ahead and begin to cause the answer to come before you even have asked for it. I have seen that happen. You know, earlier I was saying, how can the plowman overtake the reaper? How can the plowman overtake the reaper? There's this one brother in our church, he, after the end of the service, the Lord had told him to sow $10 to somebody sitting on the other side of the auditorium. It was burning in his pocket. He said, man, as soon as this service is out, he goes, I'm going to take that $10 and take it across the room and give it and sow it into that person that the Lord had put it in my heart to give it to him. As soon as the pastor said amen, he got up out of his seat. He went to walk across to put the $10 in this one brother's hand. And on his way over there, someone put a $20 in his hand. Well, right there, the plowman overtake the reaper, wouldn't you say? Before he could even get the seed into the ground. Now, I mean, that's just a small one of so many testimonies. But I tell you what, I have a friend. Hallelujah, I have a friend. Praise the Lord. He's gone on to be with the Lord, and I know we're pretty much out of time here. Sorry. Megan, we surely don't want to take any time away from you. I have a friend. He had come to a point of dying because of childhood diabetes. All of his friends through diabetic camp, they had lost their eyesight, lost limbs, died real early in life. And my friend, his name was Bruce Black, traveled with Brother Hagin's ministry together with us. Tremendous powerhouse minister. He walked on the water. He walked on the water. And there was a time when we were asked to pray again. I mean, organs were shutting down. And I remember praying in my office when I got that report, it's emergency praying. And I went to go pray for him, and all of a sudden I felt hopeless. I don't know if you've ever felt hopeless. I don't know if you've ever felt stuck. I don't know if you ever felt like not going on any further. But when you don't know that God's able and that there's an answer, it can keep you from moving forward.
Yes, true. Yeah.
And I was there in my office and I started praying and I felt despair come on me. And I started giving all the reasons in my mind of why this was a good time for him to go ahead and go home. Because some things were being arranged where some family were at. I'm thinking, this could be the best time for him to go. And it felt hopeless, and I felt that it felt there was defeat and despair. And I'm praying, and I'm trying to get myself stirred up because I want to be in faith for my friend. Right. And it's like I was just feeling the despair of this. It seemed like it was more imminent than it had ever been. And I just felt like I wasn't seeing victory. And then all of a sudden, awareness of El Shaddai. There was an awareness that came on me. He's got a covenant with El Shaddai. He's got a covenant with El Shaddai. He's a God of more than enough. He can take care of all of his children all at the same time. He is the one who can supersede, reverse, override, accelerate, reverse, and cause what needs to happen because of the faith of one of his covenant children for what God said he would do would happen for him. And all of a sudden, that despair and that relief and that feeling of defeat and that hopelessness, all of a sudden, I felt right there in my, I felt it all just kind of lift off of me. And there was an awareness inside of me. We got the victory again.
Yes. Amen.
But El Shaddai reminded me of who he is.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Can we lift our hands? Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Powerful message. Amen. That's powerful. As Reverend Kevin was talking about El Shaddai and talking about the names of God, we know that when we talk about him as our healer, and then we experience healing in our life, but we know here at this church that we step out in faith, and that's how we experience him as healer in our life. Well, in every other area, it works the same. And so if you're believing him as your provider, then we know we have to step out in faith and put your money where your mouth is. Amen? The thing is, we're real good about saying the blessing of Abraham is mine. And that's good because it's true. It's true. It's your reality. But Abraham was a tither. So if you want to have what Abraham has, you have to do what Abraham did. And so you can't leave out pieces of what he did in his obedience with the blessing and the harvest. You must sow the seed to gain the harvest. You can speak in faith and speak in faith as much as you want, but if you don't put action to it, if you don't actually do what God told you to do and be obedient to that, he can't bless you. You tied his hands. He can't, because he is held, he is bound to his word. Amen? Amen. So I'm not going to take too long. If you can throw up the first slide for our church. So we know, we teach here that when we have guest speakers, you're going to do two offerings. You're going to do one because this is your house where you are fed. You are going to give your tithes and offerings to this house. But then we are also taking up an offering for our guest speakers. It says in Galatians that you share with those who teach. And if this has so blessed you, I know it has. If this has so blessed you, really ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to give? What would you have me to sow? Because it says in the word that if he can't trust you, unrighteous mammon, that's just physical, natural money, then how can he give you the true riches, the true treasure? What is true treasure of heaven? The anointing, the glory, the things that you so desire in your heart. What is money? In comparison, you can't put a price tag on what you just received. You can't put a price tag at physical, you know, you can't actually put an amount on what you're actually receiving on the inside. I mean, this is everlasting treasure. Amen. Amen. So we're giving you an opportunity. We're giving you the honestly, it is a privilege. Amen. It's an honor to worship the Lord in every area. Amen. Including in our finances, including in our giving. Amen. So we have how you would normally give offering. If you do text to give, you're going to do T for tithe. That's normal. Or on the envelope, you're going to write how you normally would. Then I want you to separate that. And can you throw up the graphic for Kevin and Annie? If you're texting, doing text to give, you put GS for guest speaker. And on the envelope, just write this amount, church, this amount, Durant's. Amen. Amen. Come on up and we'll receive the tithes and offerings. Father, thank you that this is blessed. As your word says, those who give shall receive the same measure. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages, and it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button, or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.